Hello, it's good to see everybody tonight. For many years, I have played in a golf scramble on Good Friday morning with some friends of mine, and Max and I did that this morning, and we were on our way to Clarksville, and I got up this morning, and I get my news feed off Twitter. I was looking through Twitter, and I seen where that man had shot and killed that police officer in Hopkinsville, and I got there to Clarksville. And they had exit 4 absolutely locked down. And they found that man there and shot him behind Cracker Barrel is what happened. They found that guy. He had went over to the motel there. I think it's a Marriott or a Courtyard right there by the interstate. And a gentleman had walked outside to go to his car. And that guy that had killed the policeman had come up to him asking for a cigarette. And the guy had just got done watching the news, eating breakfast, and recognized the man, immediately called police, and here they come. He ran across Highway 79 there behind Cracker Barrel. They cornered him, and he wouldn't surrender, so they had to take him out. But they had that place locked down, didn't they, Max? You were diverted way around, and so that was a tragedy. I didn't even put it together until somebody told me. But just pray for the family of that policeman that lost his life.
Yeah.
We need to turn back to the Lord as a nation, folks.
Amen.
Wednesday night, I spoke about where was the cross. Last night, I spoke about why the cross. And tonight, we're going to talk about who was at the cross. No more fitting topic for Good Friday than Matthew chapter 27. Amen. I hope you did some pretest on this because we're going to stay in this chapter for most of the night. And so just take God's word, if you will, and just open it up to Matthew chapter 27. I'll not have you stand for any scripture reading. I'll start here in a few moments and just cover just about every verse in the chapter as I work my way down through this. Who was at the cross? This chapter is going to deal with the dirtiest deed that was ever done, the crucifixion of the very Son of God. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. May you bless it to our hearts. And Lord, as we hear this story, some for maybe the first time and some here, Lord, we've heard it hundreds of times. Lord, my hope and prayer tonight is that if there's just one person here that's lost and has never been saved, that they'd be saved before they leave tonight. Father, my second prayer is that every believer in the building tonight, Father, may we have a good understanding of just exactly what happened on that old rugged cross so many years ago. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is one of the chapters that as a believer we should come to every few days and just read through it to remember what this world thinks of Jesus. We ought to read it to remind ourselves of all the pain and all the agony and all the suffering that the Lord endured because of our sin. If you had the imagination of a poet, if you had the tongue of a great singer or the hand of an artist, you could not imagine or describe the horror and the tragedy that was done on that hill called Calvary where Jesus died for the sins of mankind. And so tonight as we ask ourselves the question, who was at the cross? And I ask you, who crucified Jesus? And some people would say, well, the Jews crucified him. That's what some people say. Or some would say the Romans crucified him. And well, you know, both answers would be wrong. And you say, well, Brother Chad, we crucified Jesus. And now you'd be getting a little closer. You see, the truth is everybody had a part in crucifying the Lord. Everybody had a part in putting Jesus to death. Johnny Cash used to sing a song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" Yeah. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Folks, everyone was there.
Yes.
When Jesus right. went to that cross. R.G. Lee, Dr. R.G. Lee, the great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis many years ago, he went to Israel for the first time, and the tour guide was leading them around the city of Jerusalem, and they went to Calvary, and the guide was going through the landmark, and he stopped, and he asked the question. He said, have any of you ever been here before? And Dr. Lee raised his hand, and the guide said, well, sir, when were you here before? And he said, 2,000 years ago. He said, 2,000 years ago, I was there. Dr. Lee was there. I was there. You were there. We all were there. Because Because the Bible says the sins of the whole world crucified Jesus. Our hands were the hands that slapped Him. Our spit covered His face. Our sins, the nails that sealed Him to that cross. And our hard hearts were the hammers that drove those nails. So let's look at this 27th chapter. And I want you to understand and know not only who, but more specifically what crucified the Lord Jesus. And as the roll is called at the cross, as I go through these verses, I want you to listen and pay attention. And if you listen real carefully, you'll hear their name called. Because all of us were there when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27 verse 1 says this: when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Who were the elders and the scribes? They were the religious people. Yes. That's who they were. The self-righteous people. Who crucified Jesus? What crucified Jesus? Self-righteousness crucified the Son of God, and religion killed Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. That's what crucified Jesus. These religious folks, they pushed Jesus, and they hounded Jesus, and they crowded Jesus. And I want to remind you that these folks were very, very religious. They were all very religious, and they were outwardly very, very moral. These were the religious folks. What would a church of Pharisees be like? Amen. If every member of Clearfork were Pharisees, let me tell you something. We could not get them all in the building, folks. You say, what are you talking about? Well, that they would be here every Sunday morning. They'd be here for Sunday school. They'd be here for worship. They'd be here every Sunday night. They'd be here every Wednesday night. We'd always have an overflow crowd. We'd have to have two or three services if every member of Clearfork Baptist Church was a Pharisee. We would have to do it. We would never have to have a sign-up sheet. There would be so many workers, we'd have to find them something to do. We'd have a church full of people wanting to do something. Our treasury would be overflowing with money. We would only have the best of everything, because everybody would tithe. The Pharisees tithe everything they had. They tithe their income. They tithe their crops. They tithe their livestock. They gave 10% of everything to God. You talk about religion. These folks had it up to their eyeballs. They wouldn't even swat a mosquito on the Sabbath, or else they'd be accused of hunting. They wouldn't remove a nail from their shoe unless they'd be accused of carrying a burden. They would all attend, they would all give, and they would all serve, they would all die, and they would all go to hell.
Right.
They were self-righteous. They were the religious folks. They were religious, but Jesus said, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? It was a religious crowd that crucified Jesus. People talk about getting religion. I hope that everybody has more than that. You see, folks, religion never saved anybody. Religion never saved anybody. Most people in America don't need religion. They need Jesus. And there's a big difference. There's people here tonight. That there's going to be all kinds of people here Sunday morning. Trust me. There's going to be all kinds of people here Sunday morning that are sitting in the pew, and they're going to be thinking, I don't need to be saved. I'm a good person. I don't need to be saved. You see, I told you last night, the Easter crowd is usually the largest crowd of the year for most churches. But we don't have many new people on Easter. It's just the church members, you know, it's the one Sunday of the year where the church members show up. Amen? And you ain't got to worry about where was so-and-so that day. It's just that time of year, you know. Easter is when they show up. Christmas services is when the lost people show up. But religious people, they hear preaching and they think the gospel is for the drunk or for the thief or for the murderer. And then they think, you know, the gospel's not for me. I'm a religious person. I believe in God. I have a Bible. My name's on the church roll. I'm a moral person. But that is exactly the crowd that crucified the Lord Jesus. That's exactly the crowd that did that. Hey, and if you're here tonight and you're religious and you're moral, but if you're not saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, folks, when you die, you're going to go straight into eternity in hell forever. The religious folks crucified Jesus. Jesus said, except your righteousness shall not exceed the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Self-righteousness crucified Jesus, and if you think you're going to slip into heaven without being born again, folks, you're ignorant of two things. You don't understand how holy God is, and you don't understand how sinful your heart is. In John chapter 3, Jesus told a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you were born all wrong the first time. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. Religion killed the Son of God. You say, well, what else? What else? Who else was at the cross? Well, hypocrites were at the cross. Look at verse 3 through 8 here in Matthew chapter 27. The Bible says this. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now what we see there is not repentance toward God. You see, Judas was at the cross. He was a disciple and he was a hypocrite. There's no doubt about that. Judas pretended to be a follower of Christ, but he had a heart filled with coveting. We talked about that last Sunday night. And the Bible tells us that he was a thief and he pretended to love the Lord. Listen, folks, every hypocrite in the world has crucified Jesus.
Right.
Every hypocrite in the world has crucified Jesus. Hey, our congregation is no different than any other. Amen. Every church congregation has some hypocrites in it. There's always been hypocrites in the church. I've heard people tell me that. I'm not going down there and you guys ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I told one old boy one night, well, you just come down and join us, we'll just have one more on the roll. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's always been there. It'll always be that way. The Bible plainly tells us that Jesus said that in the last day there will be people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. A hypocrite does not prove the Bible false. It proves the Bible true.
Right.
That's what it does. And you say, well, why is that? Because only things that are valuable are counterfeited. What do we counterfeit in our modern society? We don't counterfeit newspapers, do we? No, we counterfeit money. We counterfeit $20 bills and $50 bills and $100 bills because they're worth something. Listen to me. Don't let a hypocrite keep you out of heaven because you'll spend eternity in hell with that same hypocrite. And if you can't stand hypocrites, you better get saved. Amen? You better get saved. You see, hypocrisy crucified the Lord Jesus, but you know what? He died for that sin as well. Now, we looked at verse 2. We've seen this guy by the name of Pilate. If you look at verse 11, you'll see him again. You see, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 2 and verse 11, it tells us about Pilate. He was the Roman governor, and he was a politician, and he knew that Jesus was just, and he knew that Jesus was innocent. It says there in verse 2, it says, when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then verse 11 says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. You see, Pilate was no fool. He was no dummy. Verse 18 lets us know that he knew exactly why the Jews brought Jesus to him. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew the charges were trumped up. Hey, Pilate's wife, he said, don't have anything to do with that innocent man. I had a dream about him. You better let him go. And so Pilate knew exactly what he was getting into. And you say, well, if Pilate knew what he was getting into, why did he not rule for Jesus? The reason he didn't want to rule for Jesus is he wanted to have it easy. You see, Pilate was a coward. And cowardliness crucified the Lord Jesus. You know, at the end of every sermon I've just about ever preached, there's always been an invitation given. And that's the time to make a decision for the Lord, whether you need to be saved or whether you need to come and pray and repent of sin, or whether you need to come and pray and thank God for something that He's done in your life, or pray for somebody else in intercessory prayer. That's the time to do business with God. And those that want to do business with God, you have to stand up and make a decision for Him. You have to do that. And Pilate didn't do it. If you ever notice, and I know I've got some other preachers in here, if you ever notice, folks, if there's going to be a distraction, it's going to be within a minute of the invitation being given. Somebody's going to get up. Somebody's going to close up the Bible too quick, start zipping everything up. I hate that. Please don't do it. Service ain't over when I get done preaching. Amen. A baby's going to cry. A cell phone's going to go off. Something's going to happen because that's decision time. And the devil's going to be right there on your shoulder. And this battle's going to begin in your mind. And he's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to say, don't go down there. You're going to make a fool of yourself. Don't go down there. Hey, that issue you and your husband's having, don't go down there. People are going to wonder, why are you down there praying? That's what happens, isn't it? That's the battle that starts. That's the mental battle. That's the spiritual battle that's going on. Listen, the devil will always tell you, don't stand up for Jesus. Just stay back and be quiet. Don't make a stand for Jesus. That's what he was telling Pilate that day. But I want to remind you, friend, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my word, then I'll be ashamed of you when I come into the glory of my Father and the holy angels. Right. Listen, there is no way you can slip into heaven and nobody know about it. You can't do it. There is not any way you can be a moral coward and get into God's heaven. Jesus plainly said, if you deny me, then I'll deny you. You confess me, and I will confess you. That's why Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 is so important. Confess with your mouth. That's why that's so important. Pilate thought, he said, I can be neutral about Jesus. I don't have to make a decision either way. I can be neutral about Jesus. Historians tell us that just a few years later, Pilate died of an apparent suicide. Folks, Jesus stood before Pilate, but you know what? One of these days, Pilate's going to stand in front of Jesus. Oh, the table's going to be turned then, and Jesus is going to say, do you remember when you had an opportunity to accept me? You see, Jesus Christ, tonight, Jesus Christ is in your hands. But you always have to remember, one of these days, you're going to be in His hands. Amen. As long as you're living, breathing, you can make a decision for the Lord. You can live for Jesus. But folks, one of these days, you're going to be in His hands. So what crucified Jesus? Who was at the cross? We see the self-righteous people. We see the hypocrites. We see the cowards. All of them crucified Jesus. All of them did. Look at verse 20, and we'll read it. It says, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now who is this Barabbas? Well, Barabbas, he was a criminal. He was a murderer. He was a wicked human being. And the religious leaders, they wanted Jesus crucified and Barabbas set free. They whipped the crowd into a frenzy and got them going. When Pilate said, what we're going to do with these folks and who do you want? They all cried out, Barabbas. And Pilate said, what do I want to do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. We want Barabbas. But that Jesus, crucify him. You say, well, wait a minute, the crowd was persuaded. The Bible says they persuaded them to ask for Barabbas. Now, wait a minute. If they didn't know what they should have known, they would have known if they would just simply look to God and His Word. They would have known. They had all the evidence they needed. Listen, Hey, let me let you in on something. Folks, you are not going to stand in front of a holy God and plead ignorance.
Right.
That's not going to happen. You're not going to stand before God and plead ignorance. There's not going to be any innocence because of ignorance. Ignorance crucified the Son of God. And people who did not know and were led astray should have known better. Amen? They should have known better. The world is full of false prophets and people that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. All you got to do is go home tonight and turn on the TV and you'll find plenty of false prophets on TV. Amen? I name names, but I'm not going to do that tonight. You see, spiritual ignorance is a terrible sin against God. God's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold me accountable for what I have preached and taught you. And you're supposed to be searching the Scriptures to make sure what I'm telling you is true.
Amen.
There's not no being a plea of ignorance before God. He's going to say, if you didn't know, you should have known. Amen. That's why we have His Word. And Jesus said, if any man will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. And if you want to know the truth about Jesus, He will speak to you today.
Yeah.
And you can know Him. You can really know Him. What crucified Jesus? You see, ignorance crucified Jesus, but He died for that sin too. Verse 27 through 31, let's look at it. It says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after that they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. Why did they do that? Why did they have to do all that? Why did they have to spit on the Lord? Why'd they have to hit Him with a reed? Why'd they have to punch Him in the face? Why'd they have to pluck out His beard? Why did they have to do that? You say, well, they were commanded, the soldiers were commanded to do that. That's true, but why the rest of them? Well, they were cruel. They were hard-hearted. They were insensitive. They were mean people. They were Roman soldiers. You see, the world's full of those type of people, ain't it? World's full of that kind of people. They took joy and they took pleasure in inflicting pain. And listen, folks, hardness crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world full of hard-hearted people. How else can you explain child molestation? How else can you explain drug dealers, folks? There are the people today that would enjoy crucifying the Lord Jesus again. Who else crucified the Lord Jesus? Look at verse 36. It says, and sitting down, they watched Him there. Who is they? They are the people that were passing by the cross. You see, I told you the other night, Wednesday night, that Jesus was crucified on a hill called Calvary. It was outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and it was the Passover time, and it was on the Damascus Road. And during that time of year, there would have been hundreds of thousands of people moving in and around the city. There had been over 1 million Jews there for the Passover feast, and that's not including the Romans and the other people in the area. And so these people, they were indifferent to the Lord Jesus Christ. His death didn't mean anything to them. They were just like people that come to church, and they sit in a pew, and they take a Bible, and they follow along, and they sing a song, and they just watch the whole thing. Never do anything. Never make a decision. Never do anything. Hey, listen, so many people come to churches all over this nation, and they just spectate. They just what? So hey, listen, I've met people that had their halo on when they come into church and they think they're doing God a favor by showing up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You ever met people like that? I have. You know, I always won't give me preaching pointers. You know, and tell me what I should be preaching on and what I should be doing. It's quite hilarious from my point of view. You see, those people, it says they just sat and watched them. Just spectating. They were indifferent and they never took a stand for the Lord. And Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. I guess that's why over half the church now think it's okay to have premarital sex. They're indifferent to the Lord Jesus. They don't care. They don't care what the Word of God says. They just come and spectate. Just come and watch. Doesn't matter to them at all. You see, I heard this little jingle one time that said, when Jesus came to Warren County, we merely passed him by. We wouldn't hurt a hair of him. We only let him die. We wouldn't hurt him. We just let him die. Folks, Jesus would rather have you all together against him than to remain neutral and have no response. Do not just come in. Hey, if you're a visitor or a guest from another church, listen, do not go into any church and just come and listen to the music and just listen to the sermon. Don't do that. Don't just be a fan sitting on the sideline. Hey, don't just come into church and just sit there and then walk out the doors and not ever be changed. Don't do that.
Right.
You look warm, is what he told the church in the book of Revelation. Indifference crucified the Lord Jesus, but he died for that sin as well. Look at verses 39 through 42. This is what the Bible says. It says, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. That word if in verse 40, in verse 42, that'll send your soul to hell, folks.
Right.
If. These people were the skeptics. They should have never said if. They should have gone and stood before that empty tomb and said, if you are the Son of God, come out. And he did. He did. Hey, listen, the problem with being a skeptic and the problem with unbelief is it's not a head problem, it's a heart problem. That's why it's so dangerous to deal with that. Now we've had a roll call of everybody that was at the cross. Amen? We went through and seen who was at the cross. And if you are honest, you'll have to agree that I crucified Jesus and you crucified Jesus.
Amen.
We all crucified Jesus. Our sins were the nails, our hard hearts were the hammers that drove those nails. All of our sins crucified Jesus, but he died for every single one of them. One more time, look at verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Now imagine for just a moment. Just imagine that Roman jail where Barabbas was. And it's time for the execution. And here he comes down the hall. Barabbas knows what's going on. He knows it's his time to go. And he said, get up! Let's go, Barabbas, let's go! And Barabbas sort of staggers to his feet and he begins to weep and he begins to cry and he says, I don't want to go! I don't want to go! And the guard says, get up and be quiet! He said, you're not going to die! You're the luckiest man I've ever seen! And Barabbas says, I don't understand it. What are you talking about? I don't understand it. If anybody ever deserved to die, Barabbas, it was you. Out of all these prisoners, you deserve to die more than anyone. But you know what? I don't understand it. There's this man named Jesus who's taking your place. Come here, Barabbas. Let me show you something. And I imagine that guard put his arm around him. He said, look, come here. Look out the window. You see right over there on the hill, there's three crosses. That one in the middle, we made especially for you. That's where we were going to hang you. But this man named Jesus, he's taking your place. He's died as your substitute. Ladies and gentlemen, that cross there on that hill called Calvary was prepared for me. It was prepared for you. It was prepared for everyone that's ever been born on this earth. That's who that middle cross was for. But Jesus took your place. He died as your substitute. That's what Jesus did. Jesus died because of ignorance. He died because of hard hearts. He died because of unbelief. He died because of hypocrisy. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. Oh, man. If the Lord kept a record of our sins, folks, but he offers forgiveness. He offers forgiveness. And just your sins will be pardoned by Christ or punished in hell, but they will never be overlooked. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no halfway. There's none of that. It's one or the other. There's no gray area. Who was at the cross? All of us were there. All of us were there. And you say, Brother Chad, I've heard that sermon a thousand times in a thousand different ways. Praise God that you have. There's some people's never heard that old gospel story. There's some that's never heard. But if you're here tonight, I urge you to understand that the very Son of God, the very Son of God, died for you. And if it would have been only you, he would have still done it. That's how much God loves you. That is so difficult to understand and grasp. I don't have a good illustration to help you out with that. Because we live in a world where love is cheap. Amen? Love is physical, and love is emotion. God said, I love you just because you are. Just the way you are. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to wear anything special. You don't have to comb your hair a certain way. You don't have to make it's whatever kind of money. It don't matter where you live. Don't matter what color you are. Don't matter how smart you are. None of that matters with God. His Son died for you. And I ask the Lord to forgive us of our apathy in our churches. We go on every day acting like it's not a big deal. Folks, it's a really big deal. Jesus said the cares of this world choke out the Word. That's what chokes everything out. The cares of this world. God's still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always has been, always will be. So tonight as we close, Brother Barry is going to come, and Marianne and Martha, and I pray that the Holy Spirit has convicted you. If there's anything in your heart and life that's not what it's supposed to be, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you've never been saved, I pray today would be your day of salvation. I pray that if you're here tonight and you've been saved but you've never been baptized, I pray that you take care of that. Or maybe you're visiting from another church looking for a church home. We'd love to have you here at Clearfork. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a heavy heart for a loved one, for a neighbor, for a co-worker, for a friend, a family member, whatever it is. I pray that you get that straightened out tonight before you leave. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. Lord, sometimes I feel ashamed, Lord, when I read through Scripture and my heart's not moved by the cross. And Father, as I started tonight, we get so busy. I get so busy preparing sermons and worrying about the church service and worrying about this and worrying about that, and that still small voice says, you know what, don't you worry about that. I'm going to take care of that. You just love me. Father, if I'm the only one in the building that suffers from that issue, I ask for your forgiveness. But Lord, there's other here tonight. Lord, we just have to understand that we just need to love you, obey what scripture we know. When we start obeying that, you'll give us more to know. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We pray you'd watch over us. Lord, may we have just a great time in your house, the remainder of our time here. And Father, we're looking forward to Sunday. Father, we'll have sunrise service, and it's always great when that light starts breaking that eastern sky. Father, we'll have a house full of people here for worship. Some people here, this will be the only time they come to church all year long. And Father, I pray that we would all be motivated to pray for those visitors. Pray for those members that rarely come, that their heart would be touched. Not by the preaching, not by the music, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Not an emotional experience, but an actual confrontation with you. Father, because that's the only thing that changes people. Humans don't change other humans. God changes humans. It's God. So, Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.